Good morning.
Good morning.
The first lesson is taken from the 21st chapter of Numbers. From Mount Hor, the Israelites set out by the way to the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom, but the people became impatient on the way. The people spoke against God and against Moses. "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we detest this miserable food." Then the Lord sent poisonous serpents among the people, and they bit the people, so that many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned by speaking against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord to take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said to Moses, "Make a poisonous serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten shall look at it and live." So Moses made a serpent of bronze and put it upon a pole, and whenever a serpent bit someone, that person would look at the serpent of bronze and live. Here ends the first lesson. We will now read responsively Psalm number 107. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever.
Let all those who the Lord has redeemed proclaim that he redeemed them from the hand of the foe.
He gathered them out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south.
Some were fools and took to rebellious ways. They were afflicted because of their sins.
They abhorred all manner of food and drew near to death's door.
Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress.
He sent forth his word and healed them and saved them from the grave.
Let them give thanks to the Lord for his mercy and the wonders he does for his children.
Let them offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving and tell of his acts with shouts of joy. The second lesson is taken from the second chapter of Ephesians. You were dead through the trespasses and sins in which you once lived, following the course of this world, following the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work among those who are disobedient. All of us once lived among them in the passions of our flesh, following the desires of flesh and senses, and we were by nature children of wrath, like everyone else. But God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the results of works, so that no one may boast. For we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life. Here ends the second lesson.
Holy Gospel according to St. John, the third chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come into the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Okay. So the children's sermon, I think this is the first time I've never seen had children. Do you know that? Over these, I wonder if I should save the children's sermon. I can tell you a little bit about it, but just for a moment, I want to do this with them. And I have Palm Sunday's plan for the children's sermon. We have a great gift from Vi for Palm Sunday, but I'm not sure. Anyway, so the lesson, Lift High the Cross, we sang Lift High the Cross, and Jesus lifted high on the cross. The cross, both the sign of his suffering and the reality of his victory over death and the grave. And so we have some handheld crosses made out of, I'm kind of connected to olive wood, especially because these are small crosses, fit in your hand, made from olive wood from Palestine by Palestinian Christians. So thought a chance to help Palestinian Christians is a good thing. And so we have these crosses made out of olive wood. I wish I could give you all one, but let's wait and see how many children we have when we use these. This could be good on Easter Sunday, actually, so you know now. But so in thinking of Christ lifted high on the cross, the idea is Christ held whole, held closely in your hand by your heart. And this little cross does that. So we will, you've had a mini children's sermon. If you really want one, come and take it. I'm planned for Easter. It's so good to be a little bit ahead of schedule, isn't it? Amen. Okay. Thank you. I can turn back to the choir and see you. I won't. Let us pray. Almighty God, may the words that are spoken and how we listen be guided by the Holy Spirit and true to the Holy Gospel, that we may lift high the cross and at the same time hold the cross of Christ close to our hearts, reminding us of your unending love. In Jesus' name, amen. On March 2nd, I attended the Poor People's Campaign, which you probably know is a national call for a moral revival. And it was to be held on the steps of the Capitol in Harrisburg, but due to the rain, it was moved inside to Grace United Methodist Church on State Street. Our synod had highlighted this. One of my pastor friends asked if I would come, and I went, and that's how I got involved. The Poor People's Campaign was held in many states throughout the country. I think you know that. And the campaign hopes to focus on and build bridges in order to understand and work with our siblings who are fighting to overcome poverty, low wages, and policies that continue to hold them back, like a salary that's just not enough. This is a movement that is a resurrection, not an insurrection. Bishop William J. Barber II is the national co-chair of the campaign and president of Repairers of the Breach. He said that 250,000 people die every year due to poverty. and inequality. Research conducted by David Brady at the University of California, Riverside, said that only heart disease, cancer, and smoking were associated with a greater number of deaths. So it is a real problem that we are called to overcome, I think. The gathering that day, last Saturday, a week, was peaceful, with songs and speeches and a call to work together to help poor people lift themselves and be empowered by the government to lift themselves, and also, if they're eligible, to vote. The campaign is a fusion coalition of people, well, first of all, of coalition of impacted poor people. You know them because they come here and you serve them. This is a coalition you're familiar with, impacted poor people. Also a coalition of faith leaders, of social justice advocates, and of people of moral conscience. Now that seems to me to be a definition of every disciple of Jesus Christ. The sensitivity for those who are on the struggling in the life that we share. We are also, as Christians, faith leaders. You are. You're not just members, you are faith leaders. And you're preaching a sermon every day in your words and deeds and actions. You are faith leaders. Whether you're on the council or the call committee, worship and music, you are a faith leader. You are social justice advocates as disciples of Jesus. And you are people of moral conscience as disciples of Jesus. I think that includes us all, and we would add one more. You and I are renewers of society. And we say that often, don't we say that at a funeral sermon? We say that this person that we loved made life better. And the other saying, if you make life better for one person before you pass away, what a gift you've given. So you, all of us, are renewers of society. And that kind of pulls us into this concern that we share. We are called by the witness of Jesus to stand with and work with and be advocates of those in need. At times it seems like some politicians are working against that and would like to keep the poor silent. And there are other politicians who are listening and seeing. And this is about empowering all people. Are we afraid of empowering all people in a democracy? I hope not. I hope we understand that democracy thrives if all the citizens are empowered and not some pushed down or pushed aside. And if you say, well, he's a little political today, well, I believe our faith guides our politics. And if you feel that way, you should talk to me, not to each other. Come and tell me, I think you're too political. Okay. But I'm going to tell you my belief, our faith guides our politics. Today, the church is commemorating Harriet Tubman, who died in 1913, and Sojourner Truth, who died in 1883. And they are both renewers of society, like you. Harriet Tubman was born into slavery in Maryland and remained enslaved until about the age of 30, when she escaped with the help of the Underground Railroad. After that, she helped 300 people, others escape using the Underground Railroad until slavery was abolished. After the Civil War, her home in Auburn, New York, became a center for women's rights and for service to the aged and the poor. Service to the aged and the poor and women. Wow. Sojourner Truth, also born into slavery in New York State. After slavery was abolished in New York, she was freed and, while working as a housekeeper, became deeply involved in Christianity. A number of years later, she set out on an evangelicalistic journey where people found her testimony to be deeply moving. And in later life, she became a popular speaker against slavery and for women's rights. Sojourner Truth, just two quotes. I quote, "I know what rights is, and I know what people ought to have. And I know if there is anything I want more than another, it is rights for everybody." End of quote. She also said, "I feel safe in the midst of my enemies, for the truth is all powerful and prevails." End of quote. In light of the Poor People's Campaign, in light of the renewers of society like Harriet and Sojourner, John 3 calls us to not be grumblers in the wilderness, as in Numbers 21, complaining against God and Moses because things aren't going the way we want. Their issue was food. It seemed miserable. Our issues that we complain about are a bit different than that. But instead of being complainers in God's garden, we are called to see and hear and turn to the one lifted high on the cross, Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Because on the cross and in the empty tomb, we are reminded, no, it's proclaimed to us, we are not condemned. We are loved, we are saved, we are forgiven, and we are set free to share compassion and grace with each other and with all people. For God so loved the world that God gave God's Son for everyone and calls all to believe so that there is no perishing for anyone, but rather eternal life for all. No perishing for anyone. Christ crucified lifts us into a vision of the way things truly are. Our troubled world is not forsaken, nor should we forsake it. In great love of the cross, God embraces all that is and all that we are, refusing to yield to sin or to tremble before death. In the cross, we meet the all-loving one who brings life even from that which bites with poison, who brings life even from that which scars and kills, who brings life and justice to a society where there is enough for all, but some seek more at the expense of those who have so little. Almighty God hears the cries of the poor, and we hear that from all through the Bible. And as Mary, the mother of our Lord, sang, God sees the greed and the power of the powerful and brings them low. Brings them low. That's the truth. God's unfailing love in Christ is final, unchanging, and the most fundamental truth of our existence. The unfailing love of Christ, the truth of our existence. God so loves the world, God's creation, God's children, everyone. And Jesus embodies this unconditional love, this death-destroying gift, this life-liberating justice, bringing joy and stirring love. And all of that stirring love is present, knowable, with and amid the chaos or division or anger or fear of this time, where you and I are now, working for and caring and loving each other and all people. You see this cross of Christ embodied when you seek and serve those who come here and gather food that you give and clothing that you give. You're seeing Jesus, the risen Christ. You are seeing the cross of Christ embodied. So it's real and it's touchable. And it's present in the meal that we are about to share, the body and blood of Christ. We need a Poor People's Campaign. We need renewers of society, and you are them. And we all need the Holy Spirit's guidance. because we need a resurrection, not an insurrection. We need healing, not poison. We need light, not darkness. We need to be life-affirming, not life-diminishing. We need to speak the truth, not the lies that poison. We need humility, not boasting. We need unity, not division. We need to see the best in each other and not to critique the things we do wrong. We need love, not hate. In Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, this is what we need to believe and live into every day, every hour, every moment. Verse 8 and 9, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your doing. It is gift of God, not the results of works, so that nobody may boast." But placed here to do God's loving and caring will for all people. We are called and we are here now to renew society by the living truth that all people belong. All people have a place. All people are valued in our lives together. Called to renew society by inviting, welcoming, affirming, moving over to make room, serving all people everywhere, always. As we do justice, seek fairness, love kindness, walk humbly with God, and walk in humility with each other and all people. Amen. The blessing of Almighty God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with each of you. Amen.